And this is the site where the Euclid versus Ambler Realty case arose from. And it was discussed in Wednesday's fundamentals, and it was discussed yesterday as well. He said this is a wretched piece of property. It was at one point an auto manufacturing plant that went under, and then it became a mall that deteriorated quickly. And he had not been home in a while, but thought that it was pretty much vacant property right now. But, of course, in Euclid, they celebrate those things with markers. And when we think of that case, I mean, we don't really think about it as being a family-related case. We kind of thought, I mean, when you think of this case, it really goes back to for the whole concept of Euclidean zoning, zoning is a valid police power of a local government, and cities have the authority to zone property, and it held that process constitutional. And so when I think of Euclid, that's what I think of. But there's a part of that case that does talk about family. And item number three, it allowed the exclusion of undesirable uses and protected the residential nature of single-family neighborhoods. So there is commentary in that case. So besides just the concept that zoning is a valid exercise of the police power, it's constitutional, we as cities can do that, and I represent cities, it also had that little caveat, a little part of the couple of paragraphs did talk about just the protected nature of residential land uses. Well, the United States Supreme Court was quiet on that for quite a while. And again, Ambler was 1926. And for almost 50 years, the Supreme Court really didn't talk about family in terms of the zoning context. And by the mid-1900s, many ordinances kind of start veering, rather than just talking about uses of property, which is a traditional zoning concept, they started talking about users of property. And they usually define family in terms of relationships between household members. So it's not at all unusual, and I think in virtually every zoning ordinance in Texas, around the country, you would see the blood, marriage, adoption provisions about and number of unrelated persons. So there are two kind of components of what's a family. Sure, my wife, my children, we're a family. Grandma lives with us, we're a family. If we adopt a child, then that's part of our family. And then a lot of cities have this provision about how many unrelated persons can live together and qualify basically as a family for single-family zoning purposes. But again, the Supreme Court didn't say much of anything for about 50 years until 1974. And then in 1974, the village of Belterre versus Barras. Belterre is, I had never heard of it. I've heard of the case, but never heard of the city. It is a very, very posh, small city on, I think it's the north side of Long Island. And if you take a look at the house here, that is fairly reminiscent of the types of structures that one finds in Belterre. So it is not a slummy area by any means at all. And Belterre had in its zoning ordinance, it has provisions, it defined family, and it says one or more persons related by blood, adoption, or marriage, living and cooking together as a single housekeeping unit, exclusive of household servants, which I thought was somewhat indicative of the community they were living in, a number of persons not exceeding two living and cooking together as a single housekeeping unit, though not related, shall be deemed a family. Okay. So the owner of a home, a large home in Belterre, decides to lease his property to six unrelated college students. He had space in his house, thinking about making a little extra money. So he leased it out to the six college kids. Now, he received a citation from the city, and so the owner and three of the tenants sued, asserting broad allegations of unconstitutionality. And they covered the waterfront about right to travel. I mean, I never quite understood how renting out your home to college students would implicate a right to travel. But there were a lot of legal issues, constitutional issues that were raised in the case. So even though the Supreme Court lists and goes through all these, kind of gives a serial listing of all these federal constitutional issues, it shoots them down quickly. And it said all these allegations about all these constitutional violations, et cetera, did not burden fundamental rights and the definition of family contained in the Belterre Ordinance bore a rational relationship to a permissible state objective. So anyway, they said, Belterre, you can go ahead and enforce your ordinance, no problem. Now, what was probably remarkable about that opinion wasn't so much what it held, but was really the dissent by Thurgood Marshall. And again, this is the early 70s. And he said in his dissent, he did a more reasoned analysis of it. But he said that their ordinance violated, Belterre's ordinance violated the First Amendment's freedom of association and right to privacy. And he got to the use-user fight or discussion. You know, zoning can regulate the uses of land, but a city can't consider who the occupants of the land are. And he said, you know, selection of living companions, you know, involves emotional, social, and economic benefits to be derived from alternative living arrangements.